The bell of the Amistad tolls every time the 40-meter clipper ship sails into port. This year, the Amistad is docked at a busy waterfront harbor marketplace in Miami, Florida. She will stay here through February in commemoration of Black History Month in the United States. While the original Amistad has been lost to history, the rebuilt version of the ship now offers a glimpse to visitors of one of the most dramatic moments in U.S. civil rights history, the events leading up to a U.S. Supreme Court decision that said people of color had the same rights as anyone else and that U.S. courts must enforce those rights. In 1839, the Amistad was sailing along the coast of Cuba, which at that time was a Spanish colony, with 53 African captives. The Africans had been captured months earlier and transported to Cuba to be sold as slaves. The Africans were being transported from Havana to eastern Cuba, but 3 days into the voyage, a rebellion broke out. The Africans, under the command of Sengbi Pia, a Mende farmer from what is now Sierra Leone, took control of the ship. The captain of the Amistad was killed, and the Africans told the two surviving Spanish planters on board to sail the Amistad due east, back to Africa. However, at night, the two planters would turn the vessel north toward the U.S. coast. After weeks at sea, the ship was taken into custody by the U.S. Navy off the coast of New York. By that time, at least 10 of the Africans had died from thirst and starvation. John Dealey, the current captain and master of the rebuilt Amistad, says it was a harrowing journey.
Well, we know that many of them starved to death during that. They didn't have food. They didn't have water. They also didn't have any knowledge of what we would consider to be the modern world. So they were drinking medicines that were on board. The conditions were deplorable.
When the surviving African captives were taken into custody in the United States, they were charged with mutiny and with murder. But those charges were dismissed by a U.S. Circuit Court judge on the grounds that a U.S. court could not try the Africans for crimes committed on board a Spanish vessel. Although they escaped trial on criminal charges, the Africans remained in detention because the two Spanish planters on board the Amistad had petitioned the courts for the return of the captives, whom they considered their property. Abolitionist activists who had been working for years to abolish slavery realized the Amistad captives were in a unique legal position. The planters argued that the slave trade was still legal in Cuba, but a treaty between Spain and Great Britain had outlawed the slave trade between Africa and the Americas. Since the Africans had been captured after the treaty went into effect, the abolitionists argued the Amistad captives should be set free. A lower court ruled in the Africans' favor, but the U.S. government appealed the decision to the U.S. Supreme Court. Slavery had not yet been outlawed in the United States, and President Martin Van Buren did not want to lose the support of slaveholding Southern legislators. Confident that the U.S. Supreme Court would rule in his favor, he ordered a ship to stand by to be ready to return the Africans to Cuba and to almost certain death. Since they had been in the United States, the African captives had made a strong impression on many Americans, enlisting many to support their cause. One of the captives, an 11-year-old boy named Kale, had even written former President John Quincy Adams asking for his help. Mr. Adams agreed to argue the Africans' case before the Supreme Court. In a historic decision, the court ruled the Africans, as free-born men and women, were entitled to their liberty. Kai Perry, who leads tours on board the rebuilt Amistad, says the case exposed fissures in U.S. society that exploded just over 20 years later in the Civil War.
John Quincy Adams defended them passionately. He knew that these were free people originally, and at the time slavery was legal, but only if you were born into it. These were all free people, so he defended them passionately. But others, Martin Van Buren, for example, who was the president at the time, he wasn't ready to set these people free for fear of not being reelected. So it was all types of different emotions. Thank God for the abolitionists who really were just trying to improve their movement, but they used this trial, this case, as a way to do that.
Even though they were now free to return home, it took the Africans more than a year to raise enough money to return to Sierra Leone. When they did return, many found their land ruined, their relatives sold into slavery. Many joined the new Mende mission in Freetown, where many future leaders of Sierra Leone and other African states were educated. One of the captives, Sarah McGrew, returned to the United States, where she became one of the first women of color in the United States to receive a university education at Oberlin College in Ohio. While the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Africans, it would be many years before African Americans born in the United States would receive similar treatment. 16 years after the Amistad case, the Supreme Court ruled in the Dred Scott decision that African Americans had no rights under the U.S. Constitution. African Americans had to wait until the 20th century for U.S. courts to rule they had equal rights under U.S. laws. Jim Teeple, VOA News, Miami.